Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us here on Money FM 89.3 and empowering your property. We get insight into September's private home sales numbers and other headlines coming out of the property space.
Well, developers in Singapore moved 1,270 private homes last month, up 13.1% from August, as well as 36.3% higher than the 932 units sold in September 2018. Well, joining us is Orange Tea and Thai's head of research and consultancy, Christine. But tell us, Christine, that's a 14-month high. It's also the highest number of units sold in the month of September in 7 years. What factors account for this huge jump?
I think to explain for the increase in transaction volume, I think a strong transaction volume was mainly attributed to the launch of Avenue South Residence, which is a mega project in the city fringe, and a number of new projects that were launched after the Hungry Ghost month. So last month's sales were mainly driven by Singaporeans and PRs, who accounted for about 95% of the total sales volume. For me, I think that the strong local support indicates that many Singaporeans are still confident about the long-term prospects of properties here, despite the weakening economic growth, which I think is a very interesting phenomenon. So, well, let's put it this way, you know, if you have some savings of a few $100,000, where would you like to put your money now? So I think most people may still consider properties to be safer in the long term. They may consider the potential of their investment to grow in the long term. Here, because of the good track record of properties yielding attractive capital appreciation over the past decades.
Christine, tell us about the top selling projects in September. What do you think made their demand so high?
Based on URA, the data released today, the top-selling projects include projects like Avenue South Residence, Park Clementi, Park Botania, Treasure at Tampines, and so on. Some of these projects are mega or large-size projects in the mass market or city fringe regions. These are good locations, and the price quantum is within the affordability of most Singaporeans.
Mm-hmm. Well, moving on right now, Christine, over the weekend, it was announced that a total of 55,000 HDB flats will be upgraded under the Home Improvement Program from next year onwards as part of the wider rejuvenation efforts that will cost the government more than $1 billion. I mean, Minister for National Development, Lawrence Wong, said the plans will take place over the next few years. Are you seeing HDB flats becoming more attractive to homeowners since the implementation of the HIP?
I think that Home Improvement Program, or what we call HIP, will certainly help older flats in the long term. In fact, prices and demand for older flats that were affected by concerns surrounding the depreciating lease may see that some of the prices start to stabilize in the long term. So by rejuvenating the environment and renovating some of these flats, the value of such flats may be enhanced. We may also see, you know, that with the HIP, they can enhance the attractiveness of some of the older flats in mature estates as well. So this may draw younger couples, you know, to stay in some of these older flats in mature estates, especially for those who plan to stay or near where they are working, you know, if they are working downtown.
What about the enhanced housing grant, Christine, which was announced just last month? Has it made an impact?
Yes, we have in fact seen an increase in inquiries and interest, and even more deals being closed recently. Of all the different types of HDB flats, there seems to be more interest for larger size older flats. For instance, the 4 and 5 bedroom after the announcement of the enhanced housing grants. So perhaps the changes have increased the housing affordability for some buyers. So now they are considering to buy some of the larger older flats in mature estates. And these flats tend to be better located and considered to be value for money given their larger living space and as well as the proximity to town.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the Home Improvement Program, also known as the HIP, and the Enhanced Housing Grant, which is the EHG, I mean, do you see these initiatives as narrowing the gap between public and private housing?
I would say that there are a few market forces at play because, you know, the price gap between public and private housing will depend very much on market dynamics, like, for instance, like the supply and demand, macroeconomy and policy changes. So I think that to a certain extent, the initiatives may narrow the price gap between the two housing types. Let's look at the HDB market first. We understand that many flats, you know, have reached MOP, and even more flats will be reaching MOP next year, and they'll be eligible for resale. So with the increased competition for potential buyers, we may see some downward pressure on overall prices. But we believe that the recent initiatives or policy changes may help the HDB market by spurring demand. And, you know, although this may not cause prices of flats to rise immediately, but at least it may mitigate a situation where, you know, flat prices will continue to spiral down. So we perhaps, you know, we expect net effect to see overall HDB prices to flatline or stabilize in the long term. So with that, you know, the price gap will then depend very much on how fast prices are rising in the private market. So if you look at URA's flash index, you know, for Q3, prices of private homes have continued to rise, but at a very much slower pace when compared to Q2. So because of that, you know, the price gap between both public and private housing may not widen too much in the near term.
We're speaking with Christine Soon, Orange Tea and Ties, Head of Research and Consultancy. In other news, Christine, although developers are heading towards healthy home sales this year, a Business Times analysis found that it's a picture of uneven sales performance among residential projects launched in the first 9 months of the year. Do you agree or disagree, Christine? And why do you think some areas are seeing more movement compared to others?
I think that is true to a certain extent because we have also noticed that sales at some projects have moved faster than others, especially for the larger projects in the mass market or city fringe areas. So normally sales will move faster in these areas because of the price affordability, you know, when compared to luxury homes in the core central region. Target markets are also very different. So for the mass market and mid-tier regions, we are talking about more Singaporeans buying. So for locals who are buying, they are subjected to less cooling measures like ABSD, whereas luxury market will depend more on foreign buyers and they are subjected to higher ABSD. So that may explain why, you know, sales are moving faster in certain areas.
And do you see this trend continuing for the rest of the year?
Yes, the trend may continue for some projects to sell faster than others because at the end of the day, I think the sales performance will still come back to certain basic fundamentals like, you know, where the project is located, the price, unit mix, you know, the quality of product. But to me, I think on the whole, most projects are still considered doing well given the current economic uncertainties. I think most of our projects are seeing sales moving and things are picking up.
So no need to say develop new strategies to maintain sales momentum?
Yes, I think that developers will usually come up with new strategies. Like for instance, they may stagger the release of new units to continue to attract buyers, especially if they have launched a certain project. After a few months, they may relaunch a campaign to sustain interest with new marketing angles. Some may also release new specs or new units, you know, with better views, different unit types to attract more buyers.
And for the benefit of our listeners, Christine, where are some of the best and worst performing districts?
I wouldn't say that there are better or worse performing districts because, I think it really depends on, you know, the sales pickup will depend on whether, are there more supply in the region, you know, with more supply, usually there'll be more demand. So what we are seeing is that, you know, some districts, they are better performing because there are new launches or new units being released. And even for areas that are deemed to be perhaps less popular, you know, if the price or product is right, people may still buy a condo there. That said, for this year, based on URA data, I think the highest sales registered are districts like 19, District 3, District 18. District 19 include places like Serangoon, Hougang and Punggol because there have been a few new launches like Florence Residence, Riverfront, Garden Residences, and some of these projects are selling quite well. Then District 3 covers areas like Queenstown and Tiong Bahru. So there have been a few good projects that have been selling quite well, like Sterling Residences and Avenue South Residence. And of course, District 18 covers places like Tampines and Pasir Ris. And we know that one of the biggest project, Treasure at Tampines, have been launched there, and the pickup has been quite encouraging.
Christine, you mentioned the Florence Residence in Hougang, which is contributing to decent sales momentum in the suburbs or outside central region, along with, say, Treasure at Tampines, Park Como in Upper Changi Road North, etc. The median per square foot price of these four projects range from about $1,300 to $1,600 per square foot. They are relatively large projects but comprise small units. Why do you think there's a demand for those particular developments?
Such big projects offer a variety of housing types, which we term as, you know, unit mix that cater to different target buyers and different budget range. So some of these projects more popular because they are very big land area. They can house many facilities, so they can appeal to a wider range of buyers, like families, young couples. And of course, with smaller unit types, they can cater to younger couples or even retirees. Or with smaller budgets, you know, if they want to upgrade to a condo lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. And tell us, how about developments in the prime areas? I mean, are buyers to responding well to them?
Yes, I think that luxury market
always.
I think a luxury market is performing quite well in recent months. Though the sales volume may not be as much as mega projects, mainly because, you know, if we are talking about a different price quantum, and as well as there are not many big projects in the luxury market to begin with. So what we are seeing is that there are more mainland Chinese coming in to buy luxury home. Perhaps they want to park their funds here rather than to keep the money in their home countries where the renminbi may continue to devalue in light of the US-China trade war. We have also noticed more wealthy Taiwanese, Korean buyers coming in to look at the luxury homes as well.
But beyond these perimeters, sales have been slow at some projects in the core central region. Why do you think that is?
Again, I think as what I've mentioned, you know, because the price quantum of luxury homes is not small, the luxury market depends more on foreigners who are subjected to higher ABSD as compared to locals. So naturally, the sales take-up may not be as fast, but definitely, you know, if you compare with a few years ago, the market is really moving quite well. And if you're talking about the very niche market, like super luxury segment, there are not many buyers who can afford to buy a $5 to $10 million home. So in that sense, you know, to the catchment or the buyer group will be much smaller.
Christine Sun, Orange Tea and Ties Head of Research and Consultancy, thanks for your time.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.